Time, the silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
For pity's sake. Here we are, living in New York, in the city with more telephones than anywhere in the world, and I can't even make a local call. You're gonna be late again, buddy. Hurry, honey.
Plenty of time. What's all the fuss?
Oh, no. What's all this? What a morning.
It'll be the mailman, same as it is every morning around this time. You want me to get it?
No, I'll manage. Your coffee's on the stove.
Okay.
You don't burn yourself. It's hot.
Oh, Mr. Ware. I'm on it, too.
I'm glad to know you're cheerful, Joe. Things are in their usual frenetic state in the warehouse hold at this time. Oh, nice fat collection of mail you got for us.
Uh-huh.
There must be something in this lot that's worth opening.
Oh, sure there will be. Bye, Mrs. Ware.
Bye.
Anything interesting in the mail, Helen?
I can't see yet, honey, but there should be. Let's see.
Looks as though most of them are bills as usual, huh? That or receipts.
Well, one bill I think you must tackle, buddy, and it's the telephone. I've been trying to raise Mother all morning.
Mm-hmm.
Here. This looks like the only one that's for you. Marked personal. Holding out on me?
Hey, let me see that. Hey. Why?
What is it, buddy? You look as though you've seen a ghost. What on earth is it? What is it, Lynn? What is that letter? Who is it from?
Oh, it's nothing, Helen, honey, really. It's just that I thought I recognized the handwriting. It don't mean a thing.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You can't fool me like that. Come on, open it. Let's find out what's wrong.
Oh, well, it may not be anything. Let's see.
What is it, buddy?
Well, let's see.
Let's see, honey. The time... come, buddy. I swore I would kill you, and the time has come. Buddy, what does this mean?
Well, you thought it would be an interesting mail, Helen, and you were right. But let me have that back. It isn't every morning that one gets a threatening letter. I'd better keep it.
Buddy, this handwriting. There's been no attempt to disguise it. You recognize the writing, and you know who sent you that note, don't you?
Oh, come on, honey. There's no need to get all steamed up about things like this. I've been a cop most of my life. I started off pounding the beat, now I've ended up behind a desk. During that time, I must have made a lot of enemies. Hundreds who hate my guts and thousands more who bear me a grudge. Now, just because some crazy gink starts blowing off steam...
Don't fool me, buddy. Bearing a grudge is one thing. Threatening to kill and not caring about having your writing recognized is quite another.
Oh, it's just a scare.
Your record on the force proves you don't scare easy. We've never had any secrets from each other, buddy. If this is serious, you must tell me. You do know who it is, don't you?
Yeah, I think I do, Helen. It's a guy named Dean Fabry.
Dean Fabry?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever heard you mention him.
No, he belongs in the past. Well, at least I thought he did. The reason I think it's from him is because Dean was released from jail last week. He was doing a 10-year stretch, and I put him inside.
I see. A crook. Connected with some gang?
No. Dean isn't really a crook either. As a matter of fact, he was a cop, just like me.
A cop? You mean a friend?
Yeah, well, leastways, he started out to be. I guess I'd better tell you the whole story. No sense in having only half the truth. It happened years ago. There were three of us in the force who were buddies. Vic Murphy, Dean Fabry, and me. We'd started out together and been lucky enough to have stayed that way. Promotions, that kind of thing, you know. We were still in the same squad. Although I was in charge, it was only a handle. I never threw my stripes, and we always discussed everything together. I suppose it all started with the outbreak of robberies on the West Side. I can remember it was Vic Murphy who first came up with the idea. The idea that there was a woman involved in the robberies.
I tell you, buddy, that there's a woman at work here. What do you think, Dean?
There's always a woman.
What do you mean, is Kingpin, Vic? A woman organizing the jobs?
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's all too slick. The places she chooses to operate in. I tell you where we've been after sent, because we automatically started looking for a guy. But the guy's a dame.
Huh. Well, still don't see how it's anything more than a hunch. And how are you going to prove it anyhow?
Well, I figure we got to work backwards. Start watching the fences. This is a dame. She's got several thousand bucks worth of hot ice. Sooner or later, she's going to start to offload. Then we get a lead. Come on, I'll buy you both a beer. But if I'm right, I want free drinks for a week.
Hey, that'll take all our money for a month the way you down a beer, baby. Well, as it turned out, Vic was smack on right. We picked up a lead on a woman called Martha Van Buren. She was clever, had no record. You know, hard to pin anything on her. Again, it was Vic who put forward the next suggestion, and perhaps this is where things really started to go wrong. Yeah, well, Vic, it looks here like you were right, huh? But before we start paying for you to drink yourself to a standstill, what's the next move?
You plant someone in their setup.
Huh, easier said than done.
Can be arranged. Got just the man, too.
Oh?
You. What? No one better. Nice-looking guy, smart, well-dressed, well-spoken. No one would ever guess you were a cop. They only got a look at me, and that's for Buddy. Well, he's a bit beyond it.
Hey, come on. I'm planning to get married soon.
All the more reason why you shouldn't tangle with a dangerous dame. No, it'll have to be Dean. Buy me another beer. I'll work it out for you.
Well, Vic Murphy was as good as his word. Somehow he managed to get Dean Fabry introduced through parties and such like, and eventually Dean met her. By one of those strokes of luck, they liked each other immediately, and, financed by the force, Dean began to date Martha. They were seen in all the right spots. To him, she was, well, just a job. To her, he was a rich young man about town. It was an agreeable twosome. Of course, all the time, Dean was reporting back to the department. That dame couldn't brush her teeth without we knew about it. Then, the unexpected.
I can't believe it. I just can't. Another robbery. The Hotel Delicia. And boy, are they hopping mad. Hooked the stuff right out of the wall safe while this dame and her husband was having their dinner downstairs.
Yeah, I know. And I got a fixing from the commissioner.
Has Dean reported in yet?
I'm expecting the call any minute now. He always rings in on the hour. Uh-huh. That'll be him now. Buddy Ware speaking.
Alder, buddy. This is Dean.
Oh, let's have it, Dean. What's the news? What's with the dame?
Nothing, buddy. Nothing at all. You know, we must be on the wrong tack. Martha Van Buren's in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
I was with her all evening. Stayed in her apartment, no calls, nothing. If you're hoping to fix last night's little job on Van Buren, you're wasting your time.
But, Dean, that can't be. The job was identical with the others.
Then we're wrong about them, too. I tell you, she's got a cast iron alibi. A cop's alibi. My evidence.
I can't believe it. Something's wrong somewhere.
Look, I'll stick around with her for a couple more days. See what I can pick up then. I'll give you a full report. But like I say, at the moment, it looks like you're wasting your time completely. Bring you later. Bye.
Bye, Dean. Well, Dean says she's in the clear. Completely innocent of the whole business.
I don't believe it. She's fooling him in some way. I should be able to handle it, see through her. But I wonder. I wonder just what has gone wrong.
What's the matter, Dean, honey? Can't guard your tongue tonight?
What? Sorry, Martha, honey. I'm not very good company, am I?
Well, I've known you in brighter and more attractive moods.
Martha, we've only known each other a short time, and this may come as a heck of a surprise to you, but I've just got to tell you, I'm quite sincere. I'm in love with you.
Dean.
It's true, Martha. I can't conceal it any longer. I have to tell you. It places me in a mighty awkward position, you see. There's something else I know, too. I know who you are, Martha. By that, I mean I know how you got your money. I know where you were last night, for instance.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Look, Martha, now I've got to tell you everything. You've got to get away. The cops are onto you. They're watching your every move.
I don't believe it.
It's true. You've got to believe it because I can prove everything. Now, I love you and I'll help you all I can, but you must agree to do everything I say without questions. Now, I know it'll work, but you must listen carefully.
And don't interrupt. Now.
One more. Should be the far one. Last one on this side.
Dean. Oh, Dean, are you sure this is going to work?
Yeah, I'm sure, I'm sure. Now, quit fretting. We've been over it all too many times. I've told you I'll get you out of the country, and I will. I'll never let them take you. You have no fear of that.
Not when I don't trust you, Dean. I do. I don't know what's happened to us. I guess love plays tricks. What I've done without you.
That's enough, Dean. Stay right where you are.
But what the...
Do like Vic says, Dean. I've got the lady covered. There's no getting away.
It's a trap. You betrayed me. You made me walk right into a trap.
No, Martha. I didn't. I swear I didn't.
Back up a piece, Dean. Get some fresh air between you and the dame.
You think I'll go as easily as this, do you, Dean? I was a fool not to have seen through you. Well, I'm not
taken
yet.
Watch it, Vic. She's got a gun from that bag. Watch it.
I didn't mean the shot to be fatal. It was all over so quickly.
She died?
In hospital later. Vic had minor injuries.
I'm Dean Fabry.
Well, this Sadie's mighty tough on rogue cops who turn criminal. He got 10 years. As I say, his time of imprisonment is up. He's out. And it was he who sent me that threatening note on the table.
How can you be sure?
Well, partly because in spite of the years, I still recognize the handwriting. And because the threat is an old one. I was in court on the day he was convicted. And I can recall it like it was yesterday.
You killed her! You, Buddy Ware! You're a murderer! I'll get you one day. I'll get you. I'll tell you that you killed her. I'll kill! You hear me? I'll kill you!
Quiet!
That's the story. When you think about it, that letter couldn't have come from anyone else, could it?
No. No, I guess not. Oh, Buddy, I'm scared.
No reason to be, honey. It's one thing to make a threat and another to carry it out.
But you're in danger.
Oh, everyone in my job is to some extent. No, Helen. Don't look so scared, or I'd wish I'd never told you.
What do we do?
I know what I do. I go to work as usual. But stopping here to tell you all this really means I'm going to be late.
Will they give you some sort of protection, Buddy?
Protection? Well, now, how can they do that?
You did your duty by the state. Seems to me a great pity that the state can't do its duty by you and keep this Dean Fabry away. I mean, trace him. Warn him that he's not to come near you.
Well, maybe I don't want protection. You said yourself that I don't scare easy. Okay, it's a shock to know that Dean is out and still feels the same way he did 10 years ago. But I don't see that's any reason why I should hide myself away from him.
But if he's a killer...
Well, I don't think Dean is capable of killing.
I don't see why he should be given the chance of proving that. And anyway, I don't understand. If you and he, and this guy Vic Murphy were such buddies, why did he suddenly fall out with you? I mean, it's just crazy. It doesn't make sense, whatever way you look at it.
In an odd sort of way, it makes sense from Dean's side. He fell in love with Martha Van Buren, and I killed her. He must have been very much in love to have risked his whole career. I think he always liked and respected Vic and me. But he knew we'd never go along with his aiding and abetting the escape of a jewel thief. You know what love's like. It can make folk do some strange things, make some odd sacrifices, huh?
I wonder if I do know that. I wonder how great a sacrifice I'd make. Oh, I don't think I'd let down my friends. Oh, honey, please, I don't want you to go to the office today. Can't you tell them you're not feeling well? Here, you'll be safe.
Oh, now, Helen, get a grip on yourself. I can do that. In any case, we've got no telephone, remember?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have let go. You've got quite enough on your mind without coping with an hysterical wife. I'm sorry.
Oh, forget it, honey. Now, look, I really must be going. I'll ring you from the office just to set your mind at rest. Oh, that phone again. Now, don't worry. Look, I'll call the complaints and get the thing fixed. But don't stay on the line all day talking to your mother.
All right, Buddy. Anything you say.
Hey, who's your best boy?
Oh, Buddy. Buddy, darling. Please be careful.
I will. You know, we could be doing just what Dean Fabry wants us to do. This is a war of nerves, so make sure you keep yours, huh? Now, come on. Walk with me to the garage. Come on now.
Yes?
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. Is this the house that's got trouble with the telephone, 36A?
Oh, yes. I've been expecting you. I didn't realize you were from the telephone company. Please come in.
Thanks. Been looking for this place for some time. Crazy type numbering.
Yeah, it is a bit confusing if you don't know the district. Did you receive a complaint from my husband? I've been expecting you all day.
Well, I don't know who placed the complaint, lady. I was just given the job. Where's the phone?
Well, through here in the study. It's over there on the desk. There are points in the kitchen, lounge, and hall. But none of them works.
None of them, huh? Well, what about the bedroom?
Oh, there is a point there, but it's rarely used. I used to move at the phone in there when my husband was on night duty, but now, well, his job's changed a bit.
Come up in the world, huh?
Do you think the fault can be anything serious?
Well, I can't answer that, lady, till I've been over everything, can I?
Well, no. Oh, no, of course not. I'm sorry.
What's the matter? You seem kind of nervous. Something the matter?
No, of course not. Oh, please, go right ahead. If there is anything you want, then just let me know.
Okay. Anyone else around? I mean, servants in the house?
No, not now. The cleaning woman left at lunchtime. I'm not very practical about mechanical things, but if I can be of any help, I
guess I can handle it. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's dead, okay? Oddball.
Why?
Well, usually there's some kind of connection, you know, a crackle, a faint sound, even before the tone comes on. This is real dead, like someone might have cut the wires.
Cut the wires? Oh, no.
Nasty, huh? Yeah, it's dead, all right. Nasty word, dead. Something so final about it, isn't there? Dead.
What? Why did you do that?
No need to be jumpy, Mrs. Ware. It is Mrs. Ware, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
What time is your husband due back?
What has my husband got to do with this? Wait a minute. The line is cut. You are from the telephone company, aren't you?
Nice place you have here. Yep, I'm up in the world.
I said you are from the telephone company, aren't you?
Now, what do you think, Mrs. Ware?
I think your name is Dean Fabry. Am I right?
So... you know, do you?
And it's true.
Sure. Sure, it's true. Why should I fool you? No point, is there?
Why have you come here?
Now, look. You say you know about me. If that's so, if you've been discussing me with your husband, then you must know why I am here.
I don't believe this. I mean, you didn't send that letter to Buddy, did you?
Do I seem to you the sort of man who would make idle threats? If I know Buddy, he will have either told you nothing or everything.
I can't believe this. The whole day has a nightmare quality about it. It can't be happening. Mr. Fabry, you must go. Just go. I won't say anything to anyone if you quit this house now.
No.
Oh, I can't stand this. It's just plain crazy. I can't stand it.
You can't stand it. You want me to go? Be ordered out like a common servant. I've been inside for 10 long years. Don't you understand that?
So what? Whose fault was that? No one but your own. And how do you expect me to treat you? You get out of prison and write my husband a stupid hysterical note, trick your way in here and try to scare me to death. What attitude am I supposed to take? One of sympathy? Well, don't expect it from me. Anyone who turns his back on law and order like you is worthy only of contempt and loathing. Now get out!
I have to hand it to Buddy. He always could pick him. I should have known he'd find himself a worthy woman.
Unlike you. We're hoodwinked by a common criminal.
You shouldn't have said that, Mrs. Ware. You shouldn't have said it.
What are you going to do?
You know full well what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill Buddy.
You'll try to kill him. Yes. Yes, I suppose you will. In your twisted mind, the so-called wrong has grown over the years. You're now so bitter you can't think straight. I can understand it. This is where all forms of imprisonment go wrong. Oh, Mr. Fabry. Dean. Can't you try to recall the days when you and Buddy worked in harmony on the force?
Can't you try to see the other side? You've made good the wrong. Don't insist on staying a criminal. We'll help you. I promise. Both Buddy and I will do our best to help you. Help you get over it all.
The soft approach. Appeal to the man's better instincts. Use feminine wiles. It won't work, Mrs. Ware. I have no better instincts.
Buddy thinks you have. He says you couldn't kill even if you wanted to.
You find out how wrong he is. I've had 10 years.
10 years in which you should have seen the truth. Martha Von Buren was an expert operator in her own field. You can only recall the sordid affair you had with her. She probably had a dozen attractive men on a string.
Shut up!
Want to strike me again? That won't alter facts. You may have been stupid enough to have loved her. I doubt very much if she cared a snap of the fingers about you.
That isn't true. She would have stayed with me.
For your age. You've been haunted by the thought that she wouldn't have stayed with you even if you had got her away on that ship. It would have been somewhere else to live, some other person's jewels to steal. Some other young man to use.
No. No, it wasn't like that. I know. I know inside of me that Martha loved me as deeply as I loved her. But she wasn't given the chance to prove it.
She was shot down. Guilt? No one gave her a chance to explain.
As Buddy gave me the story, there was an opportunity to give herself up. She resisted arrest. Why, she was actually armed.
So what?
She was prepared for a showdown, prepared to shoot her way out. That doesn't fit with the picture you're trying to paint for me.
She didn't shoot to kill.
Neither did Buddy. She could have killed. He would have wounded. She could have gone to the chair for murder. Would you have felt the same as you do? If that had been so, Buddy was doing his duty.
Duty?
That word no longer means anything to you, does it? You haven't got the meaning of it for over 10 years, not since that woman, Martha Van Buren, cast some sort of spell over you, a spell which made you forget what duty and honor mean.
Be quiet.
Why? Because the truth hurts.
I said quiet, or I'll use this on you.
A gun. Should have known.
How else can I do what I have to do without this?
Perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps Buddy is, too. Perhaps we thought of you as basically the old Dean Fabry. You may have changed. Become ill. Mad.
Why'd you keep looking at that clock and then out of the window? Oh, yeah. Nearly 5:30. It's time for him to come home. Buddy was always reliable. A creature of habit. He's due back at any minute, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Then we must get the reception committee ready for him.
You really are mad. You can't recall things as they should be. Only one fact is present in your mind. Martha is dead. The crazy, twisted logic that Buddy spoke of. Justice. That's how you think of it, isn't it?
Got it at last, haven't you? That's the way it is.
No. No, it isn't. Look, can't you see that if anything happens to Buddy, I'll be the one who suffers?
Too bad. Can't be helped.
He's getting his.
But you don't understand. It isn't as if Buddy planned to kill you. He didn't plan to kill anyone. It was just unfortunate that he happened to cause the death of someone who was... Well, it was all the world to you.
They'll be coming up the driveway soon. I'll hear the car.
Please. Please listen to me. I'm all the world to Buddy.
What? What are you talking about?
If Buddy comes in here in a few minutes' time and finds me dead and you gone, then you really will have your revenge, won't you? And that way he'll suffer as you have. You'll have killed the woman he loved in the same way that he killed your woman. It's the only way you can really get even. Let me die. Not him.
You call me crazy.
I can't live without him.
The car's turning into the drive.
Please. Please. Listen to me.
I...
Do as I say.
I can't hurt you. Why should I?
You've got to. If one of us must die, it mustn't be him. I love him too much. Give me that gun. Give it to me.
Let go, you fool. Let go.
Helen.
Oh, honey, are you all right?
Sure, sure, I'm fine. How are you? I found you here on the floor. You must have fainted.
Buddy, it was Dean. Dean Fabry.
Yeah, I know. I didn't see him. He must have gone out the back way, but I found this revolver on the kitchen table together with his note.
A note?
Yeah, scribbled. The same handwriting. Here, read it.
I still hate you. But she loves you. It's the only thing that saved you. Oh, buddy. Perhaps there is hope for him. Even yet.
I think so. He's not a killer, and you must have proved that to him, huh?
Buddy. Oh, buddy. Oh,
come on now. Who's your best boy, huh?
The makers of Bayer Aspirin, Insto Eye Drops, and Phillips Tablets invite you to join them again next Tuesday night at 7:30 as the moment of destiny approaches in the 11th hour.